If I were to say the sentence, as you wish, or even better, as you wish, those of you who have seen the movie The Princess Bride would think of the farmhand Wesley. For those of you who have not seen The Princess Bride, Wesley was the lowly farmhand who was madly in love with the imperious and beautiful Buttercup, the young maiden whose family owned the farm. She would say, "Farm boy, get me water," completely oblivious to his humanity, and he would reply simply, "As you wish." Luckily, at this point in the movie, we have the benefit of the grandfather recounting the story to us, and he adds, by way of explanation, that every time Wesley says, "as you wish," what he really means is, "I love you." Obviously, it wouldn't have worked for Wesley to come right out and say that to Buttercup. But by fulfilling her needs or her perceived needs as a humble servant, he is laying the groundwork. He is meeting her where she is, in her bubble of self-importance and self-sufficiency, and letting her figure out what sort of a man he really is over time, in her time. Eventually, he makes some progress, but then goes away on a ship and is lost at sea, during which time Buttercup assumes he has died. But then, a few years later, when Buttercup is captive to a cruel prince, Wesley returns in the nick of time, in disguise, to free her. But after she is freed, mistaking him as a brigand, he was in disguise after all, she pushes him over a precipice. But as he falls, he says, "As you wish." Once again, Buttercup is forced to work out who Wesley really is by his great love of her and his uncanny, foolish respect for her desires. But at the end of the day, Wesley's willingness to be a servant, to fetch the bucket for Buttercup, to clean up her messes, and ultimately to risk her life, his life for her, is what wins the day. His servant heart is the greatest of all weapons against her imperiousness. And so it is with Jesus. In our gospel passage from Matthew, Jesus has expressed great frustration that so few of the people have received his message. He's been traveling to different towns, healing the sick, feeding the hungry, even raising the dead, all the while telling people that God's kingdom has really come. He must have initially been so excited to tell this message in the sincerity of his heart, that God was doing a new thing now. He's been celebrating with people, actually going to their parties, even parties thrown by some real crooks. He is celebrating with them because he is genuinely overjoyed that God is bringing forgiveness into the world in a whole new, complete way. That is something to rejoice about. The prophets who had gone before him had fulfilled their role of preparation, which of course included John the Baptist's call to repent. It was important work, foundational work, telling people the truth about God's ways, calling them to repentance. But now Jesus was telling them that the kingdom of God, with all its beauty, was being inaugurated in a new way. It was not coming with a sword. There was not going to be lots of bashing of the bad guys. No, Jesus was not going to use the devil's weapons of violence to usher in the kingdom. And we shouldn't either. Nor would he use flashy worldly credentials, a chariot, a retinue. Instead, the kingdom was being inaugurated by Jesus asking questions like, What do you want me to do for you? And then when the blind man asked for sight, healing him. The kingdom was being inaugurated by Jesus stopping and listening when random people interrupted him and asked for stuff. Like when the synagogue leader, Jairus, told him to come heal his sick daughter. Or when the woman with the flow of blood grabbed at his garment. Jesus was inaugurating the kingdom of heaven the way a servant would. By listening to the will of his Father and by offering himself ever so humbly to serve and heal and listen. You know, sometimes we think Jesus knew everything 5 minutes before, so it was always sort of easy for him to do everything that he did because, you know, oh yeah, this guy's going to interrupt me when I'm doing something super important, so I'm going to stop for him. No, he felt just as interrupted as you and I would feel when we are in the middle of doing something that we think is highly important. He felt interrupted, but he responded as a servant. It is very normal now to talk of servant leadership. It has cachet in the corporate world. Everybody wants to be empowered to be a leader who demonstrates some servant qualities. But not too many of us really put the emphasis on the servant part. Who is sending their child to servant camp? Who has decided to pay for a special seminar on toilet cleaning in the best possible way? Or learning how to serve others quietly and unnoticed? I definitely need that camp. What tech company offers a special course in anonymous servanthood? No, servant is just a little modifier of the thing we really want to be, a leader. But the thing about Jesus is that he is a servant through and through. He never stops being a servant. You could just keep looking in there for, okay, when is this show of servanthood over and the real Jesus, powerful, you know, God's son shows up? He's just a servant, 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 servant. He is a servant in that his desire is not to do his own will, but to do the will of his heavenly Father. And we can never forget this. Jesus has his own will, which he focuses out of love on his Father's will. As you wish, says Jesus. And somehow, mysteriously, that willingness, I'm actually going on a limb here. This may not be true, but I think this is true. Out of that willingness, it allowed Jesus to know the heart of his Father perfectly. Jesus understood the will of his heavenly Father in a way that no one else ever has. One of his great desires was to reveal that to those around him. He will say, "And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day." In other words, God the Father has such love for all that he does not wish for any to be lost. Jesus makes the wild comical comparison of his Father, God, to a Jewish lady anxiously sweeping her floor for a lost coin. That is how my Father is about you guys, Jesus is saying. And somehow that essential, loving, merciful nature of God the Father had not been grasped even by his chosen, instructed Israel. But what was so shocking to Jesus was that most people didn't believe him, particularly the people who were considered wise, those scholars of the Torah, the wise. They, in particular, just couldn't listen to this servant partygoer and believe that he knew anything about God. In fact, they criticized him as a boozing, debauched, good-for-nothing. It's interesting to note that the same people had not really appreciated John the Baptist either, even though he had been really a model of fasting, desert spirituality. But Jesus doesn't let this rejection discourage him. He lifts up his eyes to his heavenly Father and he gives him glory. He smiles as he realizes the fittingness that the little people, the humble people, the down and out people are the ones who receive the good news, that God loves them and forgives them and will show them how to have life and have it abundantly. He sees how his Father is building the kingdom by valuing the very ones who are discounted. It's a great reversal. The little people are raised up. Come unto me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. Come to me, I'll give you rest. Pick up my yoke and put it on. Take lessons from me. I'll be gentle with you. We have a servant God. It is really almost unseemly how willing he is to love and serve us. But here is the great secret. His way, the servant way, the humble way, is the way of peace. It's the way to finding rest. Winning Wimbledon actually doesn't give you rest. I mean, it may be fun and great and your destiny and all blah, blah, blah. But you wake up the next day and you've got to go into the next tournament, you know, to secure your status. The way of servanthood is the way to rest. Saying as you wish to God is how we find rest for our souls, because he himself is a gentle, merciful one. And in saying, as you wish to God, we will start to see so many opportunities to say, as you wish, to, or, you know, what can I do for you today, to others, including our spouses. Get ready, Richard. A few weeks ago, someone stopped me on my way from the chapel to the nave. I was the celebrant that day. The person had a simple little request for me to be done. But I shook my head and I said I did not have time because the service was about to begin. But I have reflected on that moment and what was truly going on. My reply was perfectly reasonable, of course. But my response really came from a defensive need to be important, not to be taken for granted. It did not come from a servant heart. It is my prayer that you and I will grow in our identity as servants of God and one another.